Hello, hello. See who pops on here today. It's Monday morning. Make sure. Hey, Mary, I think it's just you and I right now. I don't think that I don't see anyone else. How are you? Oh,
Hi, I'm doing okay.
you're doing your chores around the house?
Well, trying to take care of my kiddo. This is my first one. This is Brandon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. You're so cute. How old are you?
I turned two on October 7th.
There you go.
You're
You
not
are.
eight, you're two.
It's like I can actually get eight though.
You're funny. Say, we've been learning to count, so we're just saying all kinds of numbers.
Yeah, they all mash into one.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
You what?
I just said, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. We've been kind of cooped up in the house this past week. The weather's just been really good, so. But today was finally nice enough for me to take a walk. So we went on a 30-minute walk this morning, so I'm feeling a little better.
Whereabouts are you from?
So I'm actually from Indianapolis, Indiana, but my husband is in the Army and we're currently stationed at Columbia, South Carolina. He's at Fort Jackson.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. So, symptom wise, are you feeling good or?
I haven't really had any symptoms. And I feel like baby is still moving around like a little jumping bean. So I think I'll be 37 weeks on Wednesday.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I had to
Mommy.
think for just a second.
Yeah, no, that's super exciting. Just a reminder that like once you hit that point on Wednesday, you can start that chat with Trish and I inside of the Circle app. And that way
Okay.
you can get like one-on-one access with us and like update us after appointments. And if anything comes up or any hurdles come up near the end, we can kind of help you through that and help you along. So once you hit the 37-week mark, then you can just send us a message, send us like a recap of your pregnancy, maybe a little bit about your last pregnancy, and kind of your hopes for this birth. How do you feel with your providers and like
So
approaching
as
that end
far
of
as my
pregnancy?
provider, I think she's supportive of a VBAC, but I think she might be slightly VBAC tolerant versus like completely supportive. But I really like her. She's honest. She's been answering my questions. I talked to her about that we've been taking the VBAC lab class, and so she's been good about answering all my questions as they've come up. So
That's good. Yeah, then I think too, like, I mean, having this group or having this the opportunity to kind of come back and like recap from those appointments, like if you have something that pops up or she says something, or maybe in these last few weeks like her tone trying kind of changes or whatever, we can help like navigate that, because sometimes it does, like sometimes you see everything going really well and then you hit that last few weeks and different things pop up and you kind of are like, oh, you know, didn't expect her to say that or her to go down that road. So we hope that it doesn't happen, but I've definitely seen it more so with V-Box, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I think my biggest concern right now, so my husband and I, we really don't know when baby was conceived. I found out I was pregnant on July 6th. But when I had my first ultrasound, I think that was in August. So and right now my current due date is January 11th. So that's like really only 6 months that's accounted for. So you know what I mean? So that's like from July 6th to July 11th or January 11th. That's like 6 months accounted for. So I'm like, what is the possibility that my due date is off by however many days, you know? Sister said that she won't let me go past 41 weeks. So I'm kind of like, my big question is, I guess, how flexible should I be with my due date in terms of like taking it with a grain of salt, since we don't really know when baby was conceived. I also have polycystic ovarian syndrome. So like, you know,
your cycles were not regular.
My cycles have never been regular.
Yeah, it's hard too, because even with someone with a regular cycle, your conception date, like your in your due date, estimated due date, can be off like from a few days. And that's why when we see people get to like a week mark or 41 and 5, you know, you could technically, if you went to 41 and 5, you could technically only be 41 weeks. You could only be 40 and 6, you know, if you're there's a good chance your dates are off by a handful of days, and especially when you know that, like when you know your body's not regular and you're kind of like, I don't really know when that happened, you know. In terms of being flexible about that with her, the way that I would approach that is, once we hit that mark, if you're still not in labor or your body is still not showing signs of being ready for labor, and she's thinking induction, is she talking induction or is she talking immediate repeat?
So she actually said that, she actually said that preferably with VBAX, they don't really like to induce, that it's best for me if I go into labor naturally. So yeah. I don't think, like, she's totally shut the idea down of induction, but she was kind of upfront, like, the best thing for you to have a successful VBAC is for you to go into labor on your own.
Which is 100% true. I mean, it's true in non-VBAC births as well. We have a better chance of having a better birth if we're not induced. But if we were approaching an induction date or a date where she kind of was like drawing the line, the way that we often navigate that is like to agree to having some non-stress tests, agree to having a extra ultrasound, they call them a BPP, to check out, make sure that baby's good, fluid's good, babies, all of those things are good. And if all of those tests are coming back fine, pushing that off for 1 to 2 days is totally reasonable, because then you kind of have the proof to be like, hey, look, like everything's fine. And as long as you're comfortable with it as well, like you have to remember that, like, out of all this, it's your comfortability. Like if you're not comfortable going past 41 weeks, then don't go past 41 weeks. Like just because there's other VBAC students that have, or Trish and I are saying you can, doesn't mean that that's the right choice for you. So you have to do what feels comfortable for you. And when you trust in your provider, then, you know, if that's following what they're saying as well. But if you feel like you're like, eh, I'm not really sure if my provider is like saying that with 100% confidence, and then you can come to us and we can be like, well, these are your options, right? I think the biggest thing with VBACs, and we do this with all of our VBAC moms, which is where it's really handy to have this messaging with Trish and I, is that once you hit 37 weeks, like, we're kind of want to set you up on this plan of like how to prep your body for labor, because we do want you to go into spontaneous labor. That's your best chances to have a successful VBAC. So we're going to do all the things to prep your body for labor. And if we do all the things and then you still end up at an induction date, sometimes it only takes a little bit of Pitocin, or sometimes it only takes a little bit of Cervidil to get things going when we've prepped our body. It's also second time baby. So like, your body's done this before, your body knows, right? So
yeah.
Those are my two things. Like, when it comes to her saying those things, I wouldn't read too far into it right now. I think the biggest thing you focus on and reiterate is like, I really want to trust in my body. I really want my body to go into labor naturally. I'm going to do what I can in my power to prep my body for labor. And, you know, face that when it comes to that point. You still have a long time until we're there. Like, you still have, we still have a while until we're at that point. And then there's things too, like leading up to, I think I haven't been in the app all weekend, but I just know there was someone who just did the midwives brew on, she was heading in for induction. I think it was today. And she did the midwives brew on the weekend and she delivered this weekend.
What is the midwives brew?
So the midwives brew is the drink that has castor oil in it. It is not something we recommend until you're like at the end, like until you're literally leading into an induction or maybe leading into a repeat cesarean, okay. Because it's not for the faint of heart. It has castor oil, apricot juice, lemon verbena tea. And am I forgetting something? I think that's it. I think those are the main ingredients, but it's the castor oil that really can trigger labor, especially like if you're right on the brink of going into labor. But castor oil is a laxative, so it can make you poop a lot. It can make you very nauseous. But there is a pretty good success rate with it. And so it's kind of like one of those things that when students get to that very last point of being like, well, my induction's tomorrow, my induction's in 2 days, and I really don't want to go in for that induction, then it's one of those like last ditch efforts. Let's give this a try and see. Again, just like anything else that we do, if your body's not ready to go into labor, it's not going to work. But if your body's on the brink of labor and making progression, then it has a pretty high success rate.
Okay. So,
and it's just like a smoothie to drink. It's not pleasant. There's no sugarcoating it. It doesn't taste good. Like, and it also is just like, it can be hard on your bowels, but it's because when it irritates your bowels, it irritates your uterus and causes contractions. So that's how that works. But those are all things that, like, that. Yeah, like those are all things that like we would chat about like as you get closer, you know, like we don't need to worry about now. You don't ever take it before you're at that point. Like for someone who was going for a VBAC, like I would, and also Trish may, depending on like your history and stuff, like Trish may also have differing opinions on it based on like your history and all of that versus whether it's something to use to try with a VBAC. But generally speaking, it's kind of one of those like last ditch effort things, like when we've tried everything else and all of that. But yeah, like we'll definitely help you like in the next couple of weeks to create a plan to get your body prepped and ready. And
yeah,
because you are hitting point.
Yeah, with my first pregnancy with my son Brandon, so I was induced at 41 weeks. I don't know if it was like 41 weeks in a couple days, but it was at my 41 week appointment. And I remember the doctor saying that I wasn't dilated at all, and that my like the linings weren't thinned out at all. And then I was in labor for 28 hours in the hospital, and I only got to 5 centimeters, and that was even with the Folly balloon. Yeah, buddy, you had plenty of snacks, so we're gonna hold off on more. Okay. But I was, you know, they even did, you can have more in a little bit with lunch. Okay. what were they saying? So 28 hours labor, and they did the Folly Balloon. I still only got to 5 centimeters dilated. And they took me back for a C-section. Nobody was in distress or anything. I think they were just worried about that time clock, because when they put the Folly Balloon, they also broke my water.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was by accident or whatever, but yeah, so that happened. And the only thing I really remember about my labor is sleeping through it. Like, I slept the whole time. I don't even really remember feeling contractions. Like, I was having them based on the monitor, but I don't actually remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the hard thing about when we go in for inductions, when our body's not ready, that's where it becomes really tough, because there's a lot of work that our bodies have to do to get to the point of even like being in active labor, you know, like our bodies have to soften the cervix. They have to take the cervix from the posterior position to the anterior position. They have to dilate the cervix. Like, there's a lot happening in your body before you're even at the point of contraction starting. And when we go in for an induction and our body is nowhere near that point, there's a lot of work that has to be done. And this is where, like, we get exhausted and, you know, other things pop up. So if we do lead into another induction, that's why, like, prepping is so key and so huge, to get our bodies to a point where, like, as I said before, you just need that little bit of Pitocin, or you just need that little bit of Cervidil. Instead of, you know, everything being full force all at once. I'm hopeful that if that were to get to that point, like, it's not going to be the same experience as that was before.
Because I feel like with my first labor, I feel like my body had no clue what it was doing, to be honest.
But it didn't, because you were, you know, you're being induced and your body wasn't, your hormones in your body weren't like prepped for that. Like, your hormones in your body weren't like flowing for labor. They were just that regular pregnancy hormones, not labor hormones. Like, those are two different things. Like, once labor kicks in, your hormones change, shift, and then go into overdrive to get labor going. And then we put in like Pitocin. Well, that's synthetic oxytocin. Oxytocin is the natural form of that hormone in our body. So when we use the synthetic hormone, not that that's bad, I'm very grateful that we have Pitocin in the synthetic form of it, but it's not the same. It's not, it's frustrating when people will say, oh, we're putting you on oxytocin. It's like, no, you're not putting me on oxytocin. Oxytocin can't be recreated in a natural form. It's Pitocin. So it's different.
Yeah.
And you're shoving it in your body, trying to pretend, get your body to pretend that, like, you know, it's doing its thing.
I know you're hungry. Come on. So
I'm going to check in with Rita quickly. There's only a couple of us on here today. Rita, how are you? If you can chat. If you can't chat, that's totally fine. Maybe she's not even on here. She's just listening.
I saw that someone was on, but it looked like they maybe had left.
Yeah, I did. I saw that. It was Rachel. Oh, there's Rita.
Yes,
How are you?
Yeah, I just came to listen, check, see who was all still coming.
You know what, RV, it's definitely smaller right now because of the postpartum happy hours. A lot of our VBAC moms were coming to this happy hour. But now that we have the postpartum one, we all kind of hang out there, and our VBAC lab students, not that we don't have any right now, we do, but I do think they prefer the PM one, just because it's hard during the day, right? If they're working and stuff. So I think that that's definitely why this one is smaller right now. And then, yeah, a lot of people are coming to hang out on the postpartum one, because a lot of our VBAC moms, like Rita, like, we hang out like way past having the baby, so they're like, I don't really want to come listen to pregnancy stuff. They're more, which is why we created that postpartum one, and it's great. But yeah, I miss seeing everyone's face and babies. I think that there's a postpartum one this week. Am I wrong on that? I think there's a postpartum one on Thursday,
the 15th.
Yes, the 15th.
Can it be? Yeah, that's what I remember.
And I know we had quite a few births over the weekend, so we'll probably have some new moms join us on there.
It would be great to hear all the birth stories. But I do have a question.
Yep.
Not that I planned on asking you, but since I'm here anyways.
You go for it, because I have all the time right now.
Somehow on my WhatsApp.
Yeah,
cut out there.
Okay, did that cut off?
No, you're good. Keep going.
I was looking through my WhatsApp statuses and a picture of my provider came up. And my heart started racing and I was getting these chills. What is that? Is that, I have never experienced that. Like,
just seeing his name just triggered you.
His picture, like.
His picture.
Yeah.
The one of the past birth or the other ones?
No, like from the last birth, like from Abby.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say that was just a little bit of a trigger for sure. To see his face. You haven't seen him since, have you seen him since her birth?
We did go for the 2-week checkup, but then we weren't able to go because the streets were all blocked for the 6-week. We still mm-hmm. want to go back yet for another checkup.
And I thought I was completely fine seeing him. Of course, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about the birth. Like, I'm happy with it, but yeah. At the same time, I feel like if I allow myself to think about what I actually wanted and what I prepared my mind for, that makes me be unhappy about the experience that I have. Does that make sense?
I think it does too. When I think about your experience as well, there was so much going on beforehand. Like, there was so much back and forth and fighting and advocating and conversation leading up to it. That, like, I kind of wonder if maybe you feel like in a sense that kind of stole away from the experience too, you know, like you went through so much back and forth and conversations and feeling like not validated. And so I wonder if like all of the, all of that pre-birth stuff you went through kind of makes you also take away from the experience a little bit. Like, maybe if you had more time to come to that acceptance and to prepare for that, you would feel different. But you went from one extreme to the other really quickly, right? Like, you were like fighting so hard to have this VBAC, and then you had to switch to accept a cesarean, and you had a beautiful, like, family-centered cesarean, but that switch happened really fast. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. I feel like I wasn't able to prepare mentally for that, like, you know.
Yeah, okay. So in a sense your mental preparedness was still in the spot of like preparing for a vaginal birth or for a VBAC, but it was like at the same time you were accepting what was about to happen, and you had like so many things that you wanted in your birth happen. But I do think there was like a lot of lap over of those emotions and things that happened, because it would happen quickly and it was like chaotic.
That's true.
Like, it wasn't like you had time to process all of that over months, right? Like, if all of this had happened when you were 5-6 months pregnant, that would have given you a lot of time to really get your head and process that and grieve that. But now it happened like bang, 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 had the baby, it was a beautiful birth, but now you're left to process the feelings that maybe you would have processed in pregnancy if you'd had more time.
Right.
But you fought up to the last minute, right? You fought to the last end. And so it didn't give you a lot of time to like really work through that.
Well, it wasn't a matter of 5 days that all happened. So.
Exactly. So like, it wasn't, you know, sometimes like if you look, I don't know if you remember Emily's story, but like she found out like 4 months pregnant that she was going to need a repeat cesarean. Well, she had a long time to walk through that process, to grieve what she thought she was going to have, to like, you know, walk through all of that. So then when it came to the point of her birth, she had a lot more time to process that. But within 5 days, and how intense it was for you, like all of the emotions and meetings and just the intensity of it all, I do think that it does make sense that you're kind of still in this mindset of like, wait, like I accepted it and it was beautiful and I had things that I wanted, but like I never got time to like let go of what I thought it was going to be.
Right. And I think it would make it also a little bit easier, like if we, like as a couple, like it's a hard topic for us, we can't
we don't talk about it, let's just say it that way. Mm-hmm. My husband felt so differently in a lot of aspects, like it was completely me fighting. Mm-hmm. He's a, but silently, not mm-hmm. like he wouldn't talk about it because it was just too much for him. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I'm left to deal with this alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just such a triggering topic in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would also
that's the hard part too. And I think, I mean, it's very intense, but also just like in general, when you and your partner grieve differently or like deal with things differently, it's like a lot of resentment and anger can come in because it's like, well, why doesn't this bother you? Why aren't you upset about this? Why don't you think about this? Why don't you talk about this? You know? And it's not to say that he's maybe not thinking about it or whatever, but they just do process things completely differently. And yeah, you could, and it was difficult in the process too, right? Like, as you said, he had a really hard time advocating as hard as for it verbally as you did.
Right. No, he's totally thinking about it, and just like you said, he's grieving his way or processing it in a different way. It's just hard that it's such a triggering topic that we can't even talk about it, you know, like.
And we maybe with time that will change. Maybe with time that will change. It's hard to tell, you know. Maybe as time goes on, but
I guess
sometimes when it's fresh, it's yeah, it's hard.
It's hard, yeah.
Or therapy, if that's ever an option, or you know, a possibility to kind of have a third party mediator in it, you know, I think sometimes you can try your hardest to get them to see things from your side of view. But when someone else can validate his side and be like, look, her side is also valid, and this is how she's feeling, and this is what she needs in support. I think sometimes that's huge, but even just getting to that step is hard too, because sometimes they're like, we don't need it. Like, if we go to therapy, it means our marriage is failing, or like, we don't need to have, so I don't want to talk about it. Like, that, even getting to that point can be, you know, difficult.
I mean, we did go to counseling more than, yeah, I don't know if that's the same thing as therapy, but we mm-hmm. did during pregnancy, and that's what got like us so far on the same point that we were actually able to choose a different provider, or that he mm-hmm. my point of view and said, okay, I'm okay with you switching providers, right?
Mm-hmm. So do you think he'd be open to going back to talk about, like, you know, going over the birth and your postpartum and how you're feeling? Like, do you think he'd be open to that?
Like you said, maybe with time. I think right now it's just too fresh yet to mm-hmm. talk about, because it was so traumatic. He just kind of like, I just want it to be done, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I almost feel like that too. I just want to be done with it, but mm-hmm. I totally feel my feelings are coming back, and like I'm kind of at loss with what to do with them at sometimes. And I think it also has to do with like the baby, that she has been just crying so much. Like, I feel overstimulated. I'm like, I'm woken by her, and I'm like, I just constantly have her, you know.
And there will maybe be a time where you feel like it's right, you know, like there will be a time where you're kind of like in a more settled place, and then feel like, you know, if these things are still coming up and you're still feeling, you know, seeing his picture still bring back those emotions, like those are things that we want to talk about and understand, and in a healthy marriage, get him to understand as well. And if it takes someone else talking it through, like, I think the fact that you guys had gone to counseling before and it had helped in your pregnancy, I think that's huge, because I think, you know, that like, it would help with this again, because I think it is. I think it's just two people who process things completely differently. And that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you guys. Like, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with your marriage. It's just simply, you know, you're two different people with two different systems of how your mind and your body works. And As I said, I do think with time you'll feel differently about that. Like, you'll know when the right time is. If it's not now, it's not now.
Yeah. Well, that's completely true.
She's so cute. Hello, little one.
She is, but she has been screaming her head off like these.
She's like, I'll be quiet for you now, Mom, though. You'll make a liar out of me. She's so light. Her hair is so light.
Well, she is.
She's so light. You look sweet as can be now, but your mama says otherwise.
She's sweet, all right, but she can just scream.
You got a good set of lungs, huh? Yeah.
She's
adorable.
Thank you.
She's so cute. Ruth, how are you? I'm so happy you popped on at the last, well, not the last minute. We still have 30 minutes.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make breakfast for.
Oh, that's great. All the moms here being snack stealers and lunch stealers.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. How have you been feeling?
I've been feeling pretty good. Just dealing with like the pain in my like my lower. Is it the S? I don't really know the pelvic pain.
The pelvic pain. Yeah.
Yes, and then so far I've been having like pain in my left hip, and I've gone to the chiropractor like, I think the third time was last week.
Mm-hmm.
For adjustments, and she said I most likely it's probably something that will resolve after the baby comes.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically I've just been managing like trying to manage
that pain
and everything. Yeah, so now walking is just, it's quite intense for me because I'm like limping and
You're waddling.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's two things come to mind. One, I agree. It's probably going to resolve itself after pregnancy because it's pregnancy related, but I don't necessarily believe that that means that you should have to suffer for the next few months, especially because like you're just going to get heavier and it will probably increase as the next few weeks go out. So my recommendation would be to seek out physiotherapy and see if you could get a referral to it. By your provider, because you don't have to suffer. SPD pain can be like, chiropractor is amazing. Continue going, even not for like the specific SPD pain, but just for like the ability in your hips. Mobility in your hips is huge when it comes to birth. But in terms of that pain, like, you do not have to suffer, and physiotherapy may be able to help you target that area a little bit more. Chiropractor is kind of working on like the whole function of your pelvis and your hips and your lower back and all of that, where physiotherapy may be able to focus more on that pain, help give you some moves and exercises to strengthen the muscles and ligaments around your pelvis, because that's that is what's causing this, right? So they're more focused on like actually helping you get some stretches and some exercise to help that mobility in your pelvis feel a little bit more stable, because I know when you have this, your pelvis kind of like feels like it's not moving at the same time, and it's loose and all of that. So physiotherapy can really target that one area, where chiropractor is great, but they're like an overall function of that body. So that would be my biggest thing. And then, do you have a pregnancy support belt?
Oh yeah, I currently have that one right now.
And wear it, utilize it. I know it's a pain and I know it doesn't look nice, but like if you are doing walking or something, to make sure that you have that on. Also, physiotherapy is going to walk through like your everyday activities where that pain is really targeted. So if that's getting that's getting in the car, like where you're moving those hips, you know, they can really walk you through those and show you exactly how to navigate that pain.
Right.
That would be my biggest thing. And I agree with your chiropractor. It is going to resolve itself, but that does not mean you need to suffer right now.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind and actually see what I can find around. You actually call the office and just see what they have available.
Yeah, I would just call them and just say, like, what are your recommendations for physiotherapy? Say, I'm trying chiropractor and I may get, you know, with chiropractor care, you may get a few days of relief or 1 to 2 days of relief, but that's not feasible to go back.
That's exactly what has been going on. Yeah, yeah, like, I would go get adjusted and then, like, 2 or 3 days later, I'm back in the same place. And,
yeah, so that's very classical of SPD. And it's great, that chiropractor, but it's giving you that, like, short-term release where we want to at least, like, if you could extend that and you're going, say you're going weekly to and doing a physio in between there, and eventually you can go 2 weeks to get a chiropractor, you know? It's the space in between that we want to lengthen, but that's very common of that, is to have a few days of relief and then be back where you started. It's expensive, right? Going to chiropractor, you're going to be going every 3 days, so...
Right.
I would call and see their recommendation, but also don't let your provider talk you out of it as well. Like, if they're like, again, like, it will relieve and, you know, whatever, just like, no, like, I want relief now. Like, I need something to tell me. Like, you have kids, right? So, like, you can't be bedridden and no one should be.
Exactly. Yes. I did have an appointment last week Friday, and with this provider, she actually is I think VBAC friendly. So far, with everyone I've like seen so far, she's the only one that actually said things that kind of resonated with, like, VBAC friendly, where she said she believes everyone should be given a trial of labor or something. And there was something she mentioned that I wasn't really sure. She said during labor they'll recommend having like an epidural just in case it has to like switch to a C-section. But I kind of had like reservations about that, because I know once you get an epidural, like, you can't move around so much. Mm-hmm. And just the thought of that just makes me feel like, I'm not the biggest fan of that,
to be honest. Yeah. I'm not a biggest fan of that suggestion. I mean, as she said, it's a recommendation, so you're more than happy to turn down her recommendation politely. That wouldn't be our recommendation. We wouldn't be recommending that, because it does restrict your movement. And in the case of an emergency C-section, they can place an epidural, they can place a spinal, they can do all of that, because it's no different than if, you know, a regular birth that's not VBAC goes to an emergency cesarean. They figure that out, right? Like, it's no different in that case. So no, I wouldn't be if you're planning on getting an epidural, great. Then we would be like, then we have ways that we can move you around and all of that. But if you're hoping to go unmedicated, then I would just be saying to your provider, like, my plan is to go unmedicated, but at any point, if there is an emergency occurring and I need to go a C-section, then please place the epidural then.
Epidural. You know? Yeah. Okay.
That's just kind of, I don't even know. I want to say it's like they're trying to be preventative, but then at the same point, you know, if you get an epidural, you have to work a little harder to maintain your movement. Mm-hmm. You have to get a little bit more creative with it. You want to make sure your epidural is placed right, so you have the movement of your legs to do that. So I would just politely decline that recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah. And you totally can. Like, it's not a policy.
Right. Yeah. So I think that was what I was just thinking, like, okay, just wanted to make sure that wasn't, you know, like, just.
Nope. That's going just, by. Yeah. I don't know. Kind of a silly recommendation on their part. And they're probably, you know, when we have epidurals, we're easier patients because we're not moving around and we're in the bed and, you know, we're easier patients for them when we have epidurals. So not your fault if you're moving around the room and they gotta follow you with the machine and check in on that. Like, that's not your fault. So I would just, you know what, and then, like, if she brings it up again, I would just politely say, like, I plan on going unmedicated, but if at any point I choose to want an epidural, I'll let you know. And then if she doesn't bring it up, I wouldn't say anything about it, because it's not gonna be that provider in the room laboring with you, it's gonna be a nurse.
Right.
And if the nurse brings it up during labor, then again, you would just say, like, I'll let you know when I want the epidural.
Okay.
When I'm going to make that choice.
The other question I had, with this pregnancy, I didn't want to get checked. But then she said something about when they're going to do the GBS positive, like to know what my status is, that they'll check. So I was wondering, like, is there a way to have that test done without actually checking how dilated or is it like, how does that
work? No, it's a little bit frustrating that they do this because a GBS test does not equal a cervical exam. And a lot of providers do this without consent. So a lot of providers will do that GBS test and then be like, oh, by the way, you're not dilated and your cervix is still form at 36 weeks. And then people feel like, wait, I didn't even know you were doing a cervical exam. Like they do it and it's not good because it leaves a lot of people feeling like violated in a sense, like I didn't know what you were doing. So I would just say when you have your GBS test, they do not want a cervical exam today. And like it's 36 weeks that they do them, right?
Yes, I think 36. Yes.
Yeah. And like that's ridiculous. Like we do not need cervical checks at 36 weeks. Like it's not. So I would be very, very firm on your communication with that when you go in for that test and say, I do not want a cervical exam today.
Yeah.
I just want the GBS swab done. Basically, their GBS swab is like a long Q-tip and they're going to swab your vaginal area, your opening, and then down to your anus. There should be no fingers going in your vagina at any point. So that's like when you would know that they weren't like crossing that line is it's a swab. It's not them doing a cervical exam. A lot of them do it at the same time and they preface it with like, oh, well, we were down there anyway. So we might as well just check. I'm like, they're not even the same thing. Like they're not even, you know, like it's not even the same test. So be firm. Yeah. You just, you know, you don't want a cervical check that day. Then when you choose to get them down the line, you let them know.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that does. Okay. The last question I had, I couldn't find, I was looking for the link, like to see if I could get like virtual doula assistance. From you guys, but I couldn't find that. So I was going to just ask today.
Yeah. So that virtual doula package is through me. The link is not up and running right now because we're kind of like changing up the program and the link a little bit on the back end. If you wanted to send like a email to, I'll write it in the chat here. Info. Oh gosh. Why are my things on caps at labor? nursemama.com, then we can help you out there and kind of give you some info on that. But do know like at 37 weeks, you're getting that like one-on-one messaging support from us. Now there's no guarantee on that. That's where virtual doula services is a bit different because with the bat signal, we call it, it's inside the Circle app. And we, Trish and I usually check it morning and night. If we know someone's in labor during the day, we would check and like help you out during the day. But after a certain, like after like 9 p.m., if you go into labor, like we're not answering those messages. Yeah. It's just kind of like when we can, but it's really good, especially with VBACs to access that. And that's free. Like that comes with you. Are you a student or are you a member?
I'm a, of the VBAC.
You did the VBAC lab?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so if you did the VBAC lab, then you have access to the bat signal. That's the, so you'll have access to that, no problem. If you're just a member of the, like, society, you don't have access to the bat signal. You have to be a student, because if not, we just had would have too many. But yeah, you would get one-on-one access to messaging us. So like after your appointments, you can give us a recap and then we can go over that with you. We can create a plan with you as the weeks get closer and you can start that at 37 weeks. Okay. So once you hit 37 weeks, send Trish and I, my name's Taylor McKay. It's just, I come up as Trish Ware. But you send Taylor McKay and Trish Ware a DM like together on that app. And then, we'll like ask you for a little history of your pregnancy. And then any appointment you can be like, hey, like you'd be like, hey, they're telling me that I need to get a cervical check next week. We can help you on a one-to-one basis. And we do get in there daily.
Okay. And you call, you said is the BAT app?
It is the Circle app. So,
oh yeah, I have the Circle app.
Yeah. So when you go into the Circle app, there's like this little messaging thing down.
Oh, here. Okay.
And then when you go into that, you click on a new message and then just type in Trish Ware and Taylor McKay. And then you will be able to message us once you start, once you're at 37 weeks, then you have access to that, which is great because then you have access to a doula and a, Trish herself. So then we can kind of answer all of those things that pop up in those last few weeks for you.
Right. Okay. Okay, that sounds great. That's all the questions I had so far today.
No, I'm glad because I hopped on here and there's two people on here and I was like, I'm gonna have to chat my ear off today. So I'm glad that you hopped on.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll be in contact.
Yes, thank you.
No problem. Annie, how are you? If you can hop on and chat, it'd be great. If not, no worries.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Just having a really busy work day. So
yeah, you're like, I'm going to hop on in my break.
Yeah. I had a call and then I was like, oh, I could jump on and at least listen to, you know, people and stuff. Cause I find that very helpful. So
yeah, but, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. A lot more tired with this pregnancy than, than my first, but I think part of it has to do with the toddler. And at the same time,
it's very different. Like it's like the first one when you're tired, you like, even when you're working, you know, you can come home from work and you plop yourself on the couch and like, there's no worry about it, but it's not the same when you have kids.
There's,
like,
there's a lot of me moments where this pregnancy, there's not.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like you could take a nap on the weekend and like, no, it doesn't happen after the first.
Yeah. I am having more, I guess, like trouble sleeping as well. Maybe like pain, like ligament pain as well. And I had kind of said that to my doctor maybe like two visits ago, like, oh, is it normal? And he said that it was, that it wasn't anything to worry about. But recently, I guess I have a question on like how important the left side versus the right side sleeping is. Cause I'm struggling with sleep and I'm finding that I prefer to sleep on my right side, but then I think I'm like mentally not allowing myself to sleep. Cause I know it's better to sleep on my left side.
It's one of those things. Like if you wake up and you're on your right side, like you don't need to be in full blown panic, right? Like you're just, if you can prop yourself and turn over onto your left side, then great. You may need to get a little bit creative with pillows and like create yourself like a donut hole to sleep in to like support that hip. But the other thing I'm just thinking about right now is, I don't know if you watched it or joined in, but we did a prenatal yoga class. Was it last week? Oh my God, my weeks have been so crazy. Last week or the week before?
I think it was last week. I wasn't able to join though.
So if the recording is in there and like, even if you're not a yoga person, like you don't need to be a yoga person. She talks a lot about hip pain in that. Cause that was like the main focus of the, of the class. And so she gave some really good hip stretches to do in the evening before getting in bed, because a lot of the moms were saying that their issue is like having bad hip pain while sleeping. And so even just to listen through that class and try to get, do a few of those stretches before climbing into bed at night, maybe really helpful. Like you don't need to do the full yoga class or whatever, but that was the main focus of that class. And I was like, so happy that someone had mentioned that, because we get this a lot. Like we get the same hip pain and comfort and sleeping. And so it's a really great resource to get you guys back to just go listen, see some of those like gentle hip openers. And people were saying by the end of it, they felt such a difference in their hips, because all those tendons and ligaments and muscles get really tight. And it's actually really important for birth that we don't have them tight, because it can inhibit the way that your baby falls into your pelvis, which we know can just be like, it can start a series of unfortunate events if your baby doesn't fall into your pelvis in the right way. So hip mobility at the end of pregnancy is so key. And the fact that we just have this free resource from an incredible yoga teacher, she's so knowledgeable. She's also like spinning babies or on the process of getting spinning babies certified. So she knows a lot about like hips and baby positioning and all of that. I would 100% go, and I'm just trying to make sure that it's already in here.
Let me see. Yeah, I'll definitely do.
Yes, it is.
Do anything to get more sleep, basically.
Yeah, try it out. It's the prenatal. It's in that workshop recordings, prenatal yoga for body and mind and baby. And yeah, the main focus in that class was with hip pain and mobility. So I would definitely try that before getting in bed. And then also, yeah, trying to like cocoon yourself in a way that your hips are supportive, and don't like freak out if like a little bit of rest on your right side is going to like give your other side a break. Cause I know once we're on that for so long, but in generally speaking, we like to stay off of that side, but it's not something that we need to panic about if we wake up and we're on our right side.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I do find myself like, I can't sleep. And then I'll make a conscious decision. Like I'm just going on the right side, but then I don't know if, like I said, if I'm psyching myself out, cause then I do feel like I have more pain. Mm-hmm. Like on my right side. Mm-hmm. So anyways, yeah. So I'll check that out. And see. My poor husband has like no room on the bed because we have a queen size.
And all the pillows, I know. They get
adding pillows, yeah. And he's like
cool, I'll just sleep in this one corner. Yeah. Well, I had upgraded to a king bed after my daughter was born, and I was like, I don't think I've ever, like, this is the best investment ever, because it just truly so much more room. That was definitely the after baby purchase that I do not regret.
Yeah.
Going between to a king bed.
Cool. So I'll try that out. And then I have, my appointment, and I have a second anatomy, ultrasound, just because they couldn't see all of the baby, the positioning. The first at the 20 week one. So I have that all next week. And then also this Friday, I'm meeting for the first time, my doula who I hired.
Awesome.
So yeah, just a few things going on. I did have another question about, is there a separate section? I haven't finished the VBAC lab, but, when I was taking the 5 days fearless birth, and Trish showed like clips of like positioning. I think you were teaching it, in the clip. Is that like a separate course, or is that included?
So she does have a course, called Purposeful Positionings, and it's like a little mini add-on course. If you choose to purchase it, send an email to info@labornursemama.com. Let them know you're a VBAC student, because she has a discount code for students, so you can get it at a discounted rate. But it is a separate mini course. And yeah, it's all about positioning in pregnancy and labor and birth, to help with optimal positioning. The videos that you saw with me in them actually aren't in those courses. Those ones we just teach inside of the workshops, but the workshops are in the workshops are inside of Circle. So you would still be able to access those videos. But yeah, purposeful positioning is great, because it goes over labor positions as well. And then that's also something like you could share with your doula to show your doula which ones you're like hoping to do, and all of that.
Okay, cool. So I'll check that out. Cause I'm now like fully on board that I'm doing an unmedicated birth.
You got this. You can do it. I think, honestly, I'm gonna, not that I'm like tooting my own horn as a doula, but like hiring your doula was like probably your best investment when it comes to like committing to that unmedicated birth.
Yeah. As soon as I was like, I'm gonna do unmedicated, I was like, I'm also just gonna get a doula.
Yes. 100%. If
it starts to drive me crazy.
I'm like just coming up on, I've had quite a bit of time off from doing like in-person births while I kind of did virtual, but I'm coming up on a very, very busy season of babies. And so I've just done back-to-back-to-back-to-back prenatals. And I always say that. I always say, I'm like, listen, like, I'm all for your hubby's being hands-on and involved, but don't get mad at me if there's a point where, like, she prefers me over you, because it probably will happen.
Yeah.
So, I always find it funny, though, because they're like, I want to be hands-on. Like, that's great. I support that. But, like, don't loaf me when she doesn't want me anymore.
I think I've already kind of prepared him for that too, because I told him the last time with my first son, and I wasn't prepared at all. But as soon as he started showing signs of like being tired, I was like, that's it, get me the epidural. Like, I'm not doing this if you're tired.
And 100%, like, your support person is huge. And that's why, like, as a doula too, like, I'm not there to replace your partner. That's not our role at all. And if your doula has that mindset, there's an issue. Like, I'm not there to replace that connection with him, and I don't ever want to. So if he's like 100% on board and doing amazing and you guys are connecting, and I'm like not going to interfere with that at all. I will help guide you. Hey, try this. Let's do this change, whatever that is. But they get tired, and generally speaking, there's like one moment where they're like, oh my gosh, what is happening? Yeah. And so when they have those moments, when there's a calm person in the room, that's when they're like, oh, this was the best decision ever. Because I always get, when people come to interview me, it's usually always the female, and they are always like, oh, I have to talk to my husband. Like, you know, and I'm like, feel free. Like, he can call me, we can chat. And then it's after the birth, it's the husband. It's like, I am so thankful we had you. Like, I could not have done this without you. Like, it's always, it flips once they have that experience. So your husband either, I can promise you that.
And he's coming to this Friday to the meeting. And I mean, he's already looking forward to it. So that's good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm so excited for you guys. And again, you won't regret that investment.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions that they want to ask before we hop off? You can just like unmute yourself and ask. There was only a few of us on here, but I'm glad some people popped in and popped out. And yeah, if any of you have questions, go ahead and ask. And if not, I will. Mary, do you have a question? Are you good? Oh, she's good. I'm like, I don't know if you're trying to unmute or whatever. Anyways, as always, if anything pops in, write it in the forum and we will get back to you there as soon as we can. And then if not, we will see you guys next week. Oh my gosh. Next week is Christmas, right? Yep. Nope. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Sure. I'll go finish that Christmas shopping I said I was going to get done in November, which never happens. Anyways, we will see you guys next week because it's before Christmas. So have a good week, everyone.